for staying until the end of the session. My name is Shinsuke. I'm from University of Florida, a Gulf Coast Research and Education Center. And as a plant physiologist, I work with a plant breeder at our research center, and my responsibility is to develop production practices recommendation when the varieties are ready to be released. So today I'm going to be talking about kind of final step of our breeding program, trying to focus on developing the recommendation. And Stephen explained very nicely the relationship between the production and the market price in Florida. So our production goes up from December and peaked in March, and then goes down once California starts to ship strawberries. And market price is the highest in December and goes down. So the priority of our breeding program is also to maximize the production in December and January. And the variety I'm going to talk about today, Florida Beauty, was developed for that purpose. This variety is adapted to early planting, and it can maximize the early production. And compared to Florida Radiance, which is our current major variety, this variety is characterized by very small canopy size. Florida Radiance is also known to have the compact canopy size, but the Florida Beauty has even more compact canopy. Chilling requirement of Florida Beauty is even lower than Florida Radiance. And the flowering habit, Radiance is show day, and the Florida Beauty is day neutral. Actually, this is the first strawberry variety developed by UF, which is day neutral. Everything else is show day variety. Planting window recommended for this variety is September 23rd through October 5th, compared to October 5th to October 15th for Radiance. And this shifting planting by about 2 weeks, this makes a big difference. The objective of this study is to develop production recommendations for this new variety, and mainly focusing on nitrogen fertilization program and plant spacing. Before talking about the data, I'd like to give you basic information about how we grow strawberries, because that affects our fertilization program. So in Florida, we use bare root transplants. More growers are using plug transplants, but still bare root transplants is the major type of transplants. And because we use bare root transplants, we have to run sprinkler irrigation for 10 to 14 days after transplanting. These transplants, you can see that the roots do not have any soil or growth medium, and they don't have, you know, the water uptake capacity is very, very limited. So we have to run sprinkler just to keep the plants surviving. And after that, we switch to drip irrigation. And because we put so much water during establishment by sprinkler irrigation, we don't recommend any pre-plant fertilization. And most growers follow this recommendation. They don't put anything before planting, and they wait until sprinkler irrigation is over. And then they do the fertigation by drip tape. They start with a high dose of fertigation, normally 2 pounds of nitrogen per acre per day. And they do that for about 2 to 5 weeks, depending on the variety. Then they gradually lower the amount to 3/4 to 1 pound of nitrogen per acre per day. And we think this works really well, and this is the practice many growers follow, is because bare root transplants, the root, you know, is really dried by the time we put them in the field. So the nutrient uptake capacity is very limited. And also the root system is very small. So the nutrient uptake capacity is very limited. The contact between the root and the soil is limited. So they don't uptake nutrients very well. So at that time, it's very beneficial if we applied nutrient solution at high concentration. Even though the amount of water they can uptake is limited, if the water has higher nutrient concentration, then they can uptake more nutrients, and then that helps a lot. And over time, they develop the roots, and the roots, you know, they have very fine roots. They can develop in a bed. At that time, they have high nutrient uptake capacity. So they can grow very well even after lowering the amount of fertilization. So our fertilization treatment is based on that very unique fertilization program in Florida. And our treatments, we have four different treatments. The first treatment, we use 1 pound of nitrogen per acre per day throughout the season. And then we have treatment that we use a high fertigation amount at 2 pounds for 3 weeks, 6 weeks, or 9 weeks. So the idea is to see how long we have to extend this initial high fertilization rate for this new variety. And the total amount you can see on the right-hand side of the slide is from 156 kilogram of nitrogen per hectare up to 228 kilograms. And this experiment was conducted in 2017-18 season from September 28 up to February 26. The experiment was conducted at our research center, which is near Tampa in central west central Florida. Our treatments, we tested two different spacing, 38 centimeter or 30 centimeter, which is 15 or 12 inches. And the four different nitrogen treatment I just discussed, 0, 3, 6, or 9 weeks of initial high nitrogen fertilization. And this experiment was a factorial design, so 2 by 4, in total 12 treatments. And this was a split plot design. Main plot was plant spacing and for replication and 20 plants per plot. And this is the photo of the overhead photo of the canopy during the early production season. And you can see it from left to right by extending the high nitrogen fertilization period. The canopy, you know, you can see the canopies are, you know, I guess larger. So this effect was really clear soon after the treatment. And this is the data of the nitrogen concentration. Compared to the canopy size, we did not see really a significant impact of the treatment on leaf nitrogen concentration. The significant difference was found only from the mid-season sampling, January 24th. And the reason why we think we did not see significant impact on nitrogen concentration, I think one is because of the dilution. You know, plants grew larger, and that, you know, that weakened the effect of high nitrogen fertilization on leaf nitrogen concentration. But I think it's good to see that at least we are seeing the trend from each planting that nitrogen concentration tend to be higher with extending the high nitrogen fertilization longer. And at the end of the season, we sampled the plants and we did more growth measurements. So here are the data from left, crown number per plant, leaf number per plant, and leaf area per plant. And on the top, so because we did not find any significant interaction, so we pulled the data by each main effect. So if you look at the top portion of the table, you can see the effect of plant spacing and the crown number. Basically, plant spacing did not have any significant impact on crown number or leaf number. Leaf area per plant was reduced by 9% by using narrow plant spacing, mostly because, you know, we created more competition between plants. Increasing or extending the duration of initial high nitrogen had significant impact on all measurement variables. Crown number per plant almost double by extending the nitrogen, a high nitrogen up to 9 weeks. Leaf number per plant increased by up to 71%, and then the leaf area also increased by up to 15%. So the initial high nitrogen fertilization had really significant impact on plant growth, not only during the, you know, the development stage, but until the end of the season. So it has a long-term effect. Here is the data of the yield. Plant spacing using narrow spacing, it can increase the yield on an area basis. You can see November to January yield. So this is the yield we consider early season yield with a higher market prices. Increase was 14%. And total season yield increased by 10% by using narrow plant spacing. By extending initial high nitrogen fertilization up to 9 weeks, we could increase early season yield by up to 35% and total season yield by up to 28%. And this is the data of marketable and unmarketable yields as percent of total yield. Plant spacing did not have much significant impact at all on the yield distribution, but the nitrogen treatment had significant impact. No, it wasn't significant, but there was kind of trend. So by not using the 2 pounds, when we use 1 pound of nitrogen per acre per day throughout the season, the percent marketable yield tend to be lower than other treatment. And it was mainly because it had a higher thrip damage. And we think it's because of the small canopy size. So when we use 1 pound without using the high nitrogen fertilization, the canopy development was slower and the canopy size remained smaller compared to the treatment we use a high nitrogen rate during the initial season. And that made the damage by insect more significant. And we think, you know, when the canopy size is small, the impact of insect damage can be more pronounced, and then sometimes the insect can, you know, move on to the fruit, compared to when you have a large canopy size, even when you have the same number of insects, the damage on that plant is relatively smaller, and then sometimes insect might not go to the fruit. So in summary, we found that initial high nitrogen fertilization is really beneficial to accelerate the establishment of productive bush for this variety. And the initial high nitrogen fertilization has long-term growth promoting effects. So even just 3 weeks, 6 weeks, the effect of that treatment can continue until the end of the season. And ideal canopy size depends on many factors. So it's not just yield, but it can affect insect damage, fruit exposure, and the spray penetration. So sometimes we have to consider, you know, many different factors. In case of this variety, because canopy size is relatively small, even using the highest nitrogen treatments, we did not see a lot of overlapping of the canopy. But if we use the same treatment for other varieties which canopy size is bigger, sometimes you know, you will see more overlapping of the canopy, and then that might create issues with spray penetration, you know, for disease management. And implementing narrow plant spacing for this variety and prolonged initial high nitrogen fertilization can maximize yield, 35% increase for the early season yield and 28% increase for the total season yield. So based on our data, we developed a recommendation for the new variety. Planting window is again between 23rd September to October 5th. Plant spacing, we recommend using 12 inches instead of 15 inch. 15 inches is a standard plant spacing for most of the varieties in Florida. And duration of initial high nitrogen treatment, for Florida radiance, we recommend up to 3 weeks, but for this new variety, we recommend up to 9 weeks. So this is the variety which requires the longest initial high nitrogen fertilization among all varieties that we have in Florida for now. And right now, our study is focusing on root development. So we had, we built this rhizotron container and trying to focus on root development during the initial season, why they respond to high nitrogen fertilization so well, and trying to see if we can improve the fertilization practice to stimulate more root development, or trying to come up with treatment that can stimulate root development during the initial season, like a biostimulant or a plant hormone application. And you can see at the beginning, the root, you know, that the root system is very small, and then over time they can extend the roots throughout the container. So that's my presentation today. I'd like to thank the FSGA who funded this project, and then the collaborators. And also finally, you know, I'd like to thank my group who did all the work, students and technician and all the field technicians. Thank you so much. Yes.
Two questions. Did you see any impact with the early adopters on product quality?
Okay. So the question was the potential impact of early season nitrogen fertilization on fruit quality. We see a trend that the Brix decreases with extending the duration of high nitrogen fertilization. But that trend is very, very minor. Like, we always see that trend, but it's not significant statistically. And then I don't think it's that significant practically too. But we always see that trend, but it's very, very minor. Like, sometimes we might see a drop of like 0.7, 0.8 bricks from the lowest nitrogen rate to the highest rate, but it's never significant. Any other questions? Okay, thank you so much.